The National Broadcasting Company invites you to Showcase. NBC, in cooperation with the British Broadcasting Corporation, brings you another in its transcribed series of half-hour programs titled Showcase. In answer to your many requests, we present another of England's top-rated programs. Today on Showcase, we will hear a play from the 30-minute theater, Velvet Johnny, by Peter Cheney.
Hello, Benson here. Who? Yes, he's with me now, sir. Yes, sir, I'll tell him. Chief Inspector Gringle is urgently in need of Detective Sergeant Hone.
Wants me at once, does he?
He does. I expect he started another of his surveys of unsolved crime during the last 20 years.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Taking all the notebooks and files with you? You'll probably need them.
I keep those little details in my head.
What a head.
That's quite enough flannel from you.
Come in. Hone. Come in and shut the door. You know what today is, don't you?
It's the 2nd of February, sir.
Precisely. And what happened on the 2nd of February 6 years ago?
An old boy called Cranley was murdered over in Southeast District, sir.
How much do you remember about the case?
Cranley was reputed to be a man with money. Someone broke into the house and tried to blow the safe. They made a mess of it. The theory was that Cranley came down in the middle of it and the burglar hit him over the head with an iron bar, probably a crowbar.
That was 6 years ago.
Yes, sir. You gave the case to me to make the usual inquiries. And nothing's happened up to date, sir.
Are you still doing anything about it, or have you forgotten it?
No, I haven't forgotten it, sir. I carry the date forward from year to year, but it's just one of those cases. There's no evidence, not a thing. I tried every lead, everything I could do. But unfortunately, I'm not psychic.
I never thought you were. You remember my original idea?
Yes, sir. You thought that Whaley, the boy they call the Voice, had a hand in it. You wanted me to check up on what he was doing that night.
And did you?
Well, I couldn't find him. I couldn't find him for the very good reason he wasn't in this country. He'd gone to Australia. Nobody knew where. He came back 9 months later, so I went to see him, sir. He's living over at Brixton. He's still living there.
Don't you live there, too?
Yes, I do, sir.
Ever see him?
He comes into my local occasionally.
What did he say when you first asked what he was doing on the night of the 2nd of February?
He said he didn't know. I thought that was pretty reasonable.
Easily satisfied, weren't you?
Well, sir, he put it to me that if you asked 99 men out of 100, they couldn't tell you what they were doing on the night 9 months before. And he couldn't.
You believed him?
What does it matter whether I believed him or not, sir? We know Whaley's a crook, but we've got nothing on him. He's a clever egg, that one.
We had nothing else to tie him in with the murder.
Nothing. Incidentally, it struck me that he was telling the truth. If I asked you, suddenly out of the blue, 9 months after a murder, what you were doing on the night, I think it reasonable that you couldn't tell me.
There's a certain amount in what you say. But don't let's forget that Cranley case. Remember Velvet Johnny?
I do. Velvet's coming out next week. There was another clever guy. But he slipped up once, the last time. That insurance office in Longacre. A very nice job. Got away with a couple of thousand that night. He's coming out next Tuesday.
You know, when I went down to that place of Cranley's, all the technique looked like Velvet Johnny. The way the front door was open, the back doors wedged, the windows and the curtains fixed.
All right, sir. So it looked like Velvet Johnny. I suppose I didn't think about that. There was nothing to connect him with the murder. He had an alibi for that night.
What was his alibi?
He was with his girlfriend, Lily Malone.
Did anybody see him with her?
No. You might think she was telling a lie, but the jury wouldn't. Nobody's got anything against Lily Malone, and Velvet's a good cracksman, but I don't think he's a murderer.
They've all got to start sometime.
Look, Mr. Gringle, are you telling me to reopen this thing? If so, where do I start and what do I do?
I'm not telling you to do anything, Holm. But don't forget the case. Old Cranley was murdered 6 years ago, and because we haven't been able to do anything about it, there's no reason why we should forget it.
How do I not forget it, sir? Do I go and see Whaley again and ask him what he was doing that night and listen to him telling me he can't remember?
No, don't get cross. As long as you forget nothing, something might turn up. And don't worry about it, Holm. Just don't forget. That's all.
Nothing else you wanted to see me about, sir?
Not unless it's the anniversary of another of our unsolved cases.
No, sir. Not for another 4.5 months, sir.
As long as that. Oh, well, maybe we're not so inefficient after all.
No, maybe not, sir.
Oh, Two Malden bitters, please.
Two Malden bitters, sir. Pints?
Yes, and a gin.
A large one, sir?
No, a small one with a drop of lemon.
Right you are, sir. Much obliged.
Half a mild and a brown ale, please, miss.
Half a mild and a brown ale. Why, good evening, Mr. Whaley.
Good evening, Ethel.
Did you have a good time last night?
Smashing.
Did you go up west, like you said?
We did. Went to one of those real smart dance places. Oh, proper evening it was last night. There was a Yankee girl, part of the floor show. Ooh, she was a smasher. She got hold of me, pulled me up onto a little stage and made me sing Cry with her.
Oh, well, I never, Mr. Whaley.
Yeah, it was a real good birthday party.
You always like some notice to be taken at your birthday, don't you?
You bet I do, and yesterday was the best one I've had so far. Well, how about some service, Ethel?
Right away, Mr. Whaley. Your usual?
You bet your life. Make it a double. Have one yourself?
Thanks a lot, Mr. Whaley.
Many happy returns of yesterday, Whaley.
Why? Hello, Mr. Hunt. How long have you been standing there?
Some time.
Fancy that, and I never saw you. Must be going blind or something. Well, how's Scotland Yard?
It's still there. Could I have a little talk with you?
Sure. Have a drink?
No, not just now, thanks. I've got a glass here.
Here you are, Mr. Whaley.
Thanks a million, Ethel. Well, here's to everybody.
Here's to you, Mr. Whaley.
There's an empty table in that corner, Whaley. Shall we move over there?
Sure. You want to, it's okay by me.
Ah, this is better.
I suppose the cop is always glad to take the weight off his feet. What's this little talk going to be about?
Yesterday was the anniversary of the Cranley murder, 6 years ago. Remember?
Of course I remember. We've talked about that before, Mr. Owen, haven't we?
Yes, and I'm talking about it again. Remember that 9 months after the murder, I came to see you?
I'm not likely to forget it.
Chief Inspector Gringle, who was in charge of the case, had an idea the job looked like Velvet Johnny. He knew you and Velvet Johnny had done plenty of jobs together. To see a man 9 months after a job isn't fair to him or me, I know, but I wanted to know what you were doing on the night of the murder, not because I thought you'd committed it.
Very kind of you, I'm sure.
Because I thought it'd be the best way of getting a line on Velvet Johnny.
I wondered why you wanted a line on him. I thought he had an alibi.
He had. And you weren't able to tell me what you were doing on that night because you couldn't remember.
That's right. I couldn't.
Circumstances alter cases. See what I mean?
No, I don't.
I know something now that I didn't know then. Something I learned 10 minutes ago.
What, for instance?
The night the murder was committed was your birthday. It might have been 9 months after the job when I saw you. I couldn't see you before. You were abroad somewhere, Australia, I think. But don't tell me you couldn't remember what you'd been doing on your previous birthday. You're pretty keen about celebrating birthdays, it seems, just like kids and old women of 80.
So what?
So it occurs to me that you did know. Who committed the murder?
Oh?
Now, if you'd told me where you were on that night, I might have been able to get to the murderer somehow through that. Perhaps you're being loyal to somebody, Whaley. You thought it best to say you didn't remember what you were doing. You didn't think I'd ever discover it was your birthday on the 2nd of February. Wouldn't you like to do some talking?
Look, I'm no mug, Mr. Elm. 6 years since that murder. You got on to me 9 months afterwards, and I told you I didn't know what had happened. Now you're back again, so I'm thinking...
What are you thinking, Whaley?
Maybe it's no good being loyal to your pals. Maybe you only get yourself in bad with the police, and I wouldn't like to do that. Look, Mr. Elm, I'd like to think this out a bit more. Not because I had anything to do with that job, because I hadn't, but I hate to... do the dirty on a pal.
You do all the thinking you want. When would you like to talk to me?
Know where I live?
Yeah.
Come around to my place. Tomorrow evening about 7 o'clock. That'll suit you?
That'll be there.
Maybe I'll have something to tell you.
I'll be there. Well, now I must be on my way. I promised I'd be home half an hour ago.
Oh, can't have coppers getting into trouble, even if it's only domestic.
See you tomorrow evening. Good night. Good night, Ethel.
Good night. Why, Mr. Whaley, sitting there all on your own with an empty glass? That's not like you at all.
I don't want no more, thank you, Ethel.
Well, you do surprise me, Mr. Whaley. Not a bit like yourself tonight, are you?
Oh, shut your trap.
Well,
I know. Hello, Lily.
Oh, Hello. What's cooking?
Plenty. I'd like to talk to you, baby.
Come in. Like a drink?
Yeah, I would.
Sit yourself down and have a fag. You look worried. What's up?
Look, Lily, sit down and listen to me.
Something wrong?
You listen to me and ask yourself. You remember that Cranley case 6 years ago?
I remember. Just about the time you went to Australia.
Yeah. Landed me back 2 days before the blue inks were onto me. Detective Sergeant Hone and all his palaver. Tonight he got onto me again.
Why? What for?
Got wise to the fact that the murder was committed on my birthday, see? Now he wants to know why I couldn't remember what I was doing that evening. Coming to see me tomorrow. Looks as if I'll have to do some talking.
What you gonna say?
I'm going to tell him Velvet Johnny croaked old Cranley.
But I alibied him. He was with me.
You told him he'd been with you that night, but you didn't tell them he'd been with you all that night, did you?
Keep talking, Bill Whaley.
Johnny and I always worked together, see? They knew it was us all right, but they've never been able to prove anything.
Weren't you clever?
We was clever, all right, and we had a system of working, Velvet and me. He used to case the joint, first of all, and then, do you know what he did? He used to sit at that old typewriter of his and work it all out on paper. Yeah. Time the job was to be done, just what he was going to do, just what I was going to do. I used to take care of the safe. Johnny was bad at that.
Was he?
He was. That's why he had to do old Cranley in.
Meaning what?
Meaning, because I wasn't with him, he did it on his own, trying to get the safe open. But he woke Cranley and the old boy came down. Well, there was only one thing for Johnny to do. He did it. He did Cranley.
It's a nice story. I've always wondered why I've been stuck on you. I've always wondered why it was, after they got him and put him inside, I walked out on Johnny for you.
Look, we'll leave the soft stuff out of it. Johnny's coming out next week. How do you think he's going to feel when he finds you've ditched him and come over to me? Maybe he's not going to feel so good about it. Maybe call Velvet Johnny's, but he's got a temper. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't try and...
I know. Maybe he'll try to do me in. I wouldn't like that.
Maybe you won't have to worry. I reckon they'll be waiting for him when he comes out.
If you've still got that typewritten note about the Cranley job, I suppose you think that's going to hang him. But you're not going to tell me he used to sign those things. He wasn't such a mug.
Nah, he never signed them, but it's easy to tell if they come from him.
Oh.
He always used that small portable typewriter with a small T worn away and the O key broken off. He used to use the question mark for the O. Now, anybody who sees that note would know it was written on Johnny's typewriter, just as good as a signature, see?
If they have the typewriter. If you've got that note, if you gave it to Hone tomorrow night, they'd pull Johnny in for this with no argument. More especially if I told them I'd made a mistake, and Johnny wasn't with me that night.
Right, baby. And Johnny wasn't with you that night. You know how I know?
You tell me.
Because I was with you. See?
I see.
You listen to me, Lily. You know I've never been inside. I've been what they call successful in my profession. Velvet Johnny used to spend his money like dirt. I didn't. When I went to Australia just after that murder, I sorted some very nice dough away. I'm worth £7,000 in Australia, Lily. I'm thinking of settling there.
What's all this leading up to?
Just this. I thought it might be a good idea if you and me got married. Before next week. Before Johnny comes out, see? And when he does come out, he won't be able to get annoyed with you, baby, because they'll pinch him at once. Then you and I go to Australia where the sun's always shining.
So you're going to give Hone the note, are you?
Well, I'd like to, baby, but I haven't got it.
I guessed you hadn't.
Silly about that note. When I rang up Johnny to tell him I wasn't going to do the job, I tore up the note into little pieces and threw them into the fire. See what I mean?
I see. What you mean is, If you had the typewriter that Johnny wrote the note on, the typewriter with half the T and the O missing, you could write the note again yourself. You could write it on an old sheet of paper, maybe an old sheet you got from the time you and Johnny were working together. That's right, isn't it?
That's right, Lily.
How much did you say you'd got in Australia?
7,000 quid. But that's not all. I've got 2,500 here.
Light me a cigarette, Bill.
Okay, love.
Listen, you bring me 2,000 quid of that 2,500 here tomorrow morning. If you do that, you know what I'll do?
You tell me, sweetheart.
I'll go and get Johnny's old typewriter. I know what it is. He pawned it a week before he went inside. Found the ticket in one of his old suits. I'll get it out, see?
Good girl.
You can have your talk with Detective Sergeant Owen tomorrow night. And when all this is over, you and me will go to Australia. I think I'd like it, though.
Oh, there's just one thing, baby. If maybe Owen's going to get around to you before Johnny comes out next week, maybe he's going to ask you some questions.
What if he does?
Well, don't forget that you spent that night, the whole night, with me, see? You couldn't forget it because it was my birthday. Yeah. You'd got fit up with Johnny. You'd had a row because he was going to do a job and you didn't like it.
I know what to say.
Yeah. I guess you do, sweetheart. Well, I'll be going.
Must you?
I'll be around at 12 o'clock tomorrow and I'll bring the dough with me. Take me a little time to get it together.
You come around at 12 o'clock and I'll have the typewriter.
You've got something, kid.
Yes. I've got something. I've got the typewriter.
The train from Bournemouth West, Bournemouth Central, Southampton Central, Winchester and Basingstoke is now arriving at Platform 7.
You sure they'll be Johnny will be on this train?
He was on it when he left Southampton.
It stopped twice since then.
I still think he'll come walking through this barrier in a moment or two.
Well, we can't miss him if he does. At least you can't. I've never laid eyes on him.
Well, you can do that now if you want to. There he is, coming towards us.
What? That fair-haired, nice-looking bloke?
That's him. Doesn't look like a murderer, does he?
Do they ever? He hasn't seen you yet.
No. You get back to the car and wait. I'll pick him up alone.
Right you are. But don't be too long.
Hello, Johnny.
Well, well, Mr. Hone. I didn't expect a reception committee.
I'm hardly a committee.
How are you? How are they doing at that funny academy of yours?
A bit too well. I want to talk to you.
For the love of Mike. I've just come out and a copper wants to talk to me. Don't tell me I pulled a job while I was inside.
No, it's worse than that.
Is it? Tell me what it is.
It's murder. The Cranley job.
Now, look, I had nothing to do with
that. Now, let's not talk here. Let's go and have a cup of tea in the refreshment room.
Okay, if you insist.
I wonder what they've put in this tea.
It's better than the stuff I've been drinking for the last 2 years. But not much. Look, I don't want to seem too curious.
Here's the story. I'll give it to you straight. When I talked to you about this Cranley job, you had an alibi. You were supposed to have been with Lily Malone, the girl who was going to marry you when you came out.
What do you mean, supposed? And what do you mean, was going to marry me?
That's how it is. She's gone back on her alibi.
You wouldn't kid me, would you?
I'm not kidding you, Johnny. She's been talking.
Saying what?
That you weren't with her that night. She went over to see Whaley.
Whaley?
Yes, Whaley.
The little tramp. She never went near him that night. So while I've been inside, she's gone over to him, and now she's trying to plant this on me.
Drink your tea. Tell me something.
What?
Is it true that you planned to have a go at that Cranley safe?
Yeah.
Is it true that you cased the job and sat down at that little old typewriter of yours and typed out a scheme for doing it? That used to be a way of working, didn't it?
It was. Put it down to the overconfidence of youth.
And when you met Whaley and handed it to him, he told you he wasn't going to play because he didn't like it.
Well, that's true enough. But I never went near Cranley's place that night. When Whaley wouldn't play, I chucked it.
You went round and saw your girlfriend, Lily Malone, instead.
That's just what I did.
She says you didn't.
She's lying.
She's prepared to go into the box and say it. And Whaley's produced the typewritten note you gave him. You know something about evidence, don't you, Johnny? There's enough there to hang you.
Ah, this is a swell homecoming. All the while I was in that train this afternoon, I was thinking about seeing Lily, making plans for the future. And I walk into a murder rap. One that looks pretty hard to beat. Where do we go from here?
Where do you think?
What is it? The old story of the police car outside and Cannon Row? And would I like to make a statement?
Listen, Johnny. The police car is outside.
I guess that...
But before I take you along to Cannon Row, let's visit some old friends.
Old friends?
Old friends of yours. Lily Malone and Whaley. I happen to know he's around at her place. There's no reason why you shouldn't hear what they've got to say before I charge you.
Well, if that's the way you want it, let's go. Let's get it over with.
Benson, you stick around outside.
Roger.
Be ready to catch Johnny if he tries to make a getaway.
Nice, trustful guys. How about the back entrance?
These flats have no back entrance, and well you know it. Come on.
Why? Mr. Holmes.
Afternoon, Willie.
What do you bring Velvet here for? Lily and I have got nothing to say to him.
I may have something to say to you,
brother. You won't mind if we come in, Whaley?
We're not going to be threatened by blokes like Velvet.
I'm going to do the talking, not Johnny.
Okay. If you must, I suppose you must. In here. Lily, we've got visitors.
Yes, I heard.
Good afternoon, Miss Malone.
Good afternoon. Hello, Velvet. I suppose it'd be silly of me to say I'm glad to see you.
What do you think?
I'm sorry it had to be like this, I'm sure.
You know what I think you are. Let's leave it at that.
I've got something to say to you people, something important. And to anyone who feels they'd like to leave this happy little gathering in a hurry, let me remind you there's a police officer at the foot of the stairs.
Yeah, come off it. Who are you threatening?
He means Velvet, you fool, not you.
Oh.
I've explained the position to Johnny, and I've got something here that I wanted to show him in front of you two. You recognize this piece of paper, Whaley?
Sure I do. I gave it to you the other day.
Johnny, this is the typewritten note he had from you after you had inspected Cranley's house. Take a look at it. You can save yourself a lot of trouble, Johnny, by telling the truth. Was that written on your typewriter?
You want me to put a rope around my own neck?
I want the truth.
I'll take a chance on you. Yeah, it was written on my typewriter.
Do you recognize it as the one you handed to Whaley?
Well, I guess it's the one.
Look at it carefully.
Yeah, just what are you trying to do, copper?
Yeah, what is all this palaver about? That's the note he wrote, all right. Haven't I had it tucked away for the last 6 years?
Have you, Whaley?
Yes, I have.
Of course Johnny wrote it. He's admitted it was written on his typewriter.
What do you think, Johnny? Did you write it?
6 years is a long time. It looks like the one I wrote. Oh, there's just one thing, though.
What's that, Johnny?
The address. Did Cranley live at 14 Welland Street? Well, somehow it doesn't seem to click.
You must be losing your memory, Johnny. Of course, that was Cranley's address.
You seem very sure, Whaley. Been down there to refresh your memory?
No. No, of course I haven't. Why the hell should I?
Because Johnny did not write that note. You did. You typed it within the last few days.
Oh, Bill, whatever's going to happen...
Shut up, Lily. Alone, you must be off your rocker to make such accusations. I'd like to see you prove it.
I can.
What?
You look scared, brother. Whaley, you threw away the original note that Johnny gave you and made a deal with Lily Malone.
Oh, I tell you, I had nothing to do with
it. You must have. You knew where Johnny's typewriter was. She loaned it to you, Whaley, and you typed this note. You sat down at that machine and tried to remember exactly what was in Velvet Johnny's original note. You remembered most of it, but the one thing you couldn't remember... You couldn't remember the address of old Cranley's house. So you did what you thought was the wisest thing. You went round there and checked on it. And what did you write? Here it is. You wrote 14 Welland Street.
And I tell you, that's the ass.
It's a pity you forgot they changed the names of lots of blitz streets in London just after the war.
All right.
Oh, yes, Whaley. That was the house, all right. but the name of the street was changed 6 months after the murder was committed. When the crime took place, it was 14 Maberly Street.
And you was bragging about being so successful, Bill Whaley.
I'm getting out of here.
They'll get him all right. Benson!
Yes?
Have you got him?
We've got him all right.
Well, hold him. He'll be charged with murder. Liliana Malone, I'm known to you as a police officer, and I'm arresting you on a charge of being an accessory after the fact.
All right, Anson. You win. I'll come quietly. If I ran down those stairs, I might hurt my legs. And I've got lovely legs. Haven't I, Johnny? What's the matter with you? Cat got your tongue?
I've got nothing to say to you.
Oh, well. And I'd have sent you such a beautiful wreath if they'd hanged you.
Hello, Benson here. Who? Yes, he's with me now, sir. I'll tell him. Chief Inspector Gringle.
Wants me at once, I suppose?
He does. I wonder which unsolved crime he's got in his mind this morning.
I wonder. Could it be somebody else's birthday, do you think?
Birthday? What are you talking about?
It doesn't matter. It's not important.
He must be potty.
You have just heard Velvet Johnny, a play from the 30-Minute Theater by Peter Chaney, produced and transcribed by Charles Lefer. Each week at this time, Showcase presents a half hour of the best entertainment from the BBC, as selected by our listeners in a recent mail poll. In answer to your many requests, our next program will be Mr. Ledbetter's Vacation, an unusual tale by H.G. Wells. This is Gene Hamilton inviting you to hear Mr. Ledbetter's Vacation.
Start today to ensure your child's education. Buy United States savings bonds on the payroll savings plan.